Today we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 21, entitled The Gopis Glorify Krishna's Flute, Sloka 18. Hantayam Adir Abala Haridasa Varyo. Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasa Pramodaha. Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoryat. Pani Asuyavasa Kandara Kanda Mulae. Hantayam Adrir Abala Haridasa Varyo. Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasa Pramodaha. Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoryat. Pani Asuyavasa Kandara Kanda Mulae. Matajis? Hanta, oh, I am this, Adrihi, hill, Abala, oh friends, Haridasa Varyaha, the best among the servants of the Lord, yet because Ramakrishna Charana, of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and Balaram. Sparasha, by the touch. Pramodaha, jubilant. Manam, respect. Tanoti, offers. Saha, with. Go Ganayo, the cows, calves, and cowherd boys. Tayoho to them, Sri Krishna and Balaram. Yat, because. Paniya, with drinking water. Suyavasaha, very soft grass. Kandara, caves. Kandamulai, and edible roots. Translation. This translation is written by Srila Prabhupada. It appeared in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. We can chant responsively. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 1834. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the opulence of Govardhan Hill as follows. Paniya refers to the fragrant cool water from the Govardhan waterfalls, which Krishna and Balaram drink and use to wash their feet and mouths. Govardhan also offers other beverages such as honey, mango juice, and pilu juice. Suyavasa indicates durva grass, used to make the religious offering of argya. Govardhan also has grass that is fragrant, soft, and conducive to the strong growth of cows and increased production of milk. Thus, this grass is used for feeding the transcendental herds. Kandara refers to the caves where Krishna, Balaram, and their friends play, sit, and lie down. These caves give pleasure when the weather is too hot or too cold or when it is raining. Govardhan also features soft roots for eating, jewels for ornamenting the body, flat places for sitting, and lamps and mirrors in the form of smooth stones, glistening water, and other natural substances. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Paschati Desatarine Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
This is a very important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. According to Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, this verse is spoken by Srimati Radharani. And also when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to Vrindavan, when he took darshan of Govardhan, he recited this verse in glorification of Govardhan Hill. Now each word has very deep meaning. So I would like to go through the words first to understand this sloka very carefully, and then we'll understand the context in which Srimati Radharani is speaking this sloka to her friends, whom she calls Abala. That means weak. So the first word is Hanta. Hanta is used, even Krishna uses the word Hanta in the Bhagavad Gita. When we say, huh, yes, it comes from this Hanta. Krishna tells Arjuna that, yes, I will tell you all of my opulences, but only the major ones. So he uses that in 10:19. It's also used as a form of lamentation when Kamsa was going to kill the children and kill the last child especially. Hanta, it's used if there's great pity and lamentation. But in this sense, Radharani is speaking it as a form of surprise and joy. So what is she saying? She's saying, I am Adri. Now the word I am, it means this. Radharani, we'll hear later, she's not at Govardhan Hill. She's in her in-law's house, her susural. And Govardhan is very far away. But her father has built a Chandrashala so that she can see Barsana and she can even see as far as Govardhan from her in-law's house. So for her, she's looking at a distance, but because she's so absorbed in Krishna's pastimes at Govardhan Hill, it's as if Govardhan is right there with her. So she uses, instead of saying that hill so far away, she uses I am. This hill, because she's meditating deeply on those pastimes as if she's right there with Krishna and Krishna's right there with her. So Abala, she's speaking to her most intimate gopis and maidservants who live in Javat with her. When it was arranged by Purnamasi that Srimati Radharani have her marriage in the village of Javat to Abhimanyu, sometimes he's called Ayana Ghosh, and the mother-in-law was Jatila, and the sister-in-law was Kutila. Well, none of the gopis wanted to be separated from Srimati Radharani, so they all arranged for their marriages to be in Javat as well. And they all went to live with Radharani there. And that way, they were always with Radharani at Javat, and then also when she went to Barsana, they would stay with her. So when she's talking to her friends, she uses this word weak, abala, without strength, because they're in the clutches of their husbands' homes, and they can't get out. It's as if they're imprisoned. So therefore, because they can't go and be with Krishna, their weakness is exposed because they're locked in, and therefore they can only talk about Krishna, meditate on him, which in one sense is perfection. But they consider it to be a weakness because they don't have the freedom to be with Krishna as they would like to be. Then she says, Hari Dasa Varya. Now Hari Das, we hear that name all over the scriptures. There are many Hari Dasas. But Govardhan, this hill, is Hari Dasa Varya. Varya means the best, the most precious, the most principal, of all the Haridasas. So Srila Jiva Goswami, he explains when he's describing Dasya Ras, that Govardhan, and this sloka he uses, Govardhan is the perfect example of a devotee in Dasya Ras, because he's jubilantly serving Krishna with everything that he has. So in the 10th canto itself, there are three Haridasas. There's Haridas Govardhan Hill, which is first mentioned as the best. Then in chapter 47, we will hear about Uddhav. When Krishna was feeling separation and knew that all the Vrijvasis were suffering in separation from him, he chose Uddhava to come here to Braja to see all of the different holy places where Krishna had his pastimes and to pacify all of the inhabitants of Braja. So he is called Haridas in that chapter because he's such a great servant, he was chosen by Krishna to come here to Vrindavan. Then, that's the Mathura Leela. Then in Hastinapur, Yudhisthira Maharaj, he is also called Haridas. He's called Haridas by all of the saints and sages and kings and leaders who came to see the Rajasuya Yajna. Now, one would think that they were all coming to the Rajasuya sacrifice to see Krishna, because that was the real reason why Yudhisthira was having that sacrifice, to establish Krishna as the Supreme Lord. But they were also coming to see Haridas, Maharaj Yudhisthira, because they acclaimed him as the greatest servant there in Hastinapur. He was so dear to Krishna that Krishna became his servant, his messenger. He came and lived in his house. We come to see Krishna, but Krishna will come all the way from Dwarka to see Yudhisthira Maharaj. So therefore, he's also called Haridas. Narada Muni is sometimes called Haridas. So there are many Haridases, but supreme amongst them is Sri Govardhan. Then we have a phrase here. Yat Ramakrishna Charana Sparasa Pramodaha. Now, the previous acharyas have taken this. The direct translation is that by the touch of Lord Krishna and Balaram's lotus feet, Govardhan becomes jubilant, pramoda. They find other ways to translate this that increase our pleasure. They say that Rama also means pleasing. It's not just Balaram. And what's pleasing? Krishna Charana. So we know we have Vaishnav Achar, Sadachar. So Charana can also mean pastimes. So Govardhan Hill becomes jubilant because Krishna performs his pleasing pastimes upon his slopes. So that's another translation of this particular line. Then, mana tanoti. Man we means with great respect. And tanoti means to offer. So what does Govardhan offer in his service to Krishna? This is now explained. That not only to Krishna, but saha go ganayo, along with the cows and Krishna's associates, both the gopas and the gopis. Govardhan offers many, many things. Govardhan's not just interested in pleasing Krishna, and this is the secret of him being the greatest of all servants. He is interested in pleasing Krishna's devotees just as much as he is in pleasing Krishna. So he very carefully, with great respect, he offers the following things. Yat paniya. So we know the word pani. Pani means something that's drinkable. We usually refer to it as water. And Govardhan, yes, Govardhan offers his water to Krishna. But that's not the only drinkables that he offers. He offers different types of honey. Now, maybe you've seen here in Vrindavan, there are a lot of different types of bees. They're tiny little honey bees. They're big ones that make the big nests. They're the Brahmara. They make a lot of sound and they're black. Now, each one of these different types of bees, there are 8 types of bees, they make a different type of honey. And all those 8 different types of honey are available for Krishna and his cowherd boyfriend's pleasure at Govardhan. Then all of the fruits, they make juices from that. So in that way, he offers paniya to Krishna and his associates. Then, suyavasa. Su means exceptional. It increases, just like with subhadra. It makes it more auspicious. So yavasa means soft grasses. Now cows, if you look closely at a cow's mouth, you'll only see the bottom teeth. Cows don't have any teeth on the top. They just have a plate, and they have to tear the grass in order to eat it. Horses have both. They can cut the grass, so they can eat harder grasses. But the cows have to have very soft grass in order to eat. Otherwise, they start to cry. They can't eat the hard grasses because they don't have the 2 sets of teeth to cut. So Govardhan, he grows, and this is one of his symptoms of ecstasy, these soft, soft grasses, especially for the cows. Especially he grows durvagas. Durvagas we know we use in all of our yajnas. Whenever we welcome a guest, anything auspicious, durvagas is always there. And it's also very, very healthy. If you have a toothache, if you have a swelling, anything in Ayurveda, they'll say, take durvagas, make a poultice, because it has so many good qualities to it. So this suyavasa, here, when the devotees are quoting Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, there are 4 qualities of the suyavasa. So suyavasa indicates durvagas, and this argya is one of the 8 types of honey also. So not only is argya like what we offer to their lordships, argya can be very, very, with many, many different ingredients, as one of the 16 ingredients with patty and sesame and many different things in it. Or it can be very simple with just water and chandan and flowers. Or it can be the honey. So here they say the four different qualities of this special grass is, one is sugandha. Sugandha means it's very fragrant. Now, this is a kind of fragrant grasses that Mother Yasoda would especially feed to her special cows to make milk and butter and ghee for Krishna. It's also sukamala. Sukamala means very soft, because that's what the cows enjoy, soft grasses. The other is, it's pushti vardhana. Pushti means it helps our growth. So it helps the growth of the cows to make good milk. And the last is dud samvat. So this means when the cows eat this nice grass and they make very good milk, all of the residents of Vrindavan, they drink that milk and they also become healthy and happy. So these 4 qualities of the grass are able to serve the cows, the calves, and actually all the residents of Vrindavan. This is how Govardhan, he thinks so far ahead, how he can please Krishna and his devotees, just by his grass. Next comes, after the grass, is the kandara. Kandara is the caves. Now, these are very special caves. We'll hear that originally Govardhan was gigantic, 64 miles long, 40 miles wide, and 16 miles high when Govardhan first appeared in Satya Yuga. We'll hear about that. But due to a curse, every day Govardhan is shrinking the size of 1 sesame seed. So now it's Kali Yuga. Of course, even in Dwarpa Yuga, Govardhan was much bigger. Putana, she came when she was kidnapping all the children. She would drop the children onto the peaks of Govardhan to kill them. She didn't know that the gopas and the gopis were standing there catching the children and bringing them to their house. So that's how high the peaks were at that time, that could, even if you dropped from them, you could die. So these caves, there are many, many caves. Imagine 64 by 40 square feet of mountain. There's so many caves that Krishna and Balaram know about. And when it's cold, Krishna and Balaram, they stay in the caves to stay warm. And when it's hot, they go into the caves to stay cool. This is special, real air conditioning that Govardhan arranges. And when it rains, Govardhan makes sure that everything is dry inside of the caves. And these caves are specially equipped with different jeweled thrones and beds and soft sands and mirrors made of jewels. So these are not ordinary caves. They're not scary caves with lions and spiders and scorpions. No, these are like palaces inside that Krishna enters into with both the gopas and the gopis for rendezvous. So after the caves that Govardhan offers, there's the Kanda and the Mulai. So Kanda and Mulai, Kanda are bulbs and Mulai are roots, just like we have the Muli root. That's where the name comes from, because it's a root. Carrots are roots, and then bulbs are things like we have beets. Some things are sweet, some things are sour, some things are bitter. So these Kanda, it also includes fruits and vegetables that Krishna and the cowherd boys, they pick and they add to their lunches that their mothers send them. So they're just enjoying taking the forest fruits, digging up, and also the roots. It includes, if you have big trees, these trees that have big roots that come out of the ground. So Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, they would rest on these big roots, they would jump over them, they would climb under them. So they would play with these roots also. They would eat the roots that were underground, and they would play with the roots that were on top of the ground. So these were the various offerings that Govardhan would very, very respectfully give to all the inhabitants of Braja, plus the Supreme Lord himself. Now, Govardhan himself has nothing to do with this material world. Previously, you can read in Srimad Bhagavatam that mountains, they're fully conscious. They're living entities. They're also personified at different points. They can fly. They can choose where they want to live. They can grow. They can reproduce. Just like human beings. They also have different sattvic bhavs. So, originally, Govardhan, Jamuna, and this entire tract of Braja, they're in Goloka Vrindavan with Radha and Krishna. And we heard last week that when the demigods, Lord Brahma and Vishnu, came to request Krishna that now it's time for you to appear, and Krishna requested Radharani, you come with me. And Radharani said, I don't want to go anywhere where there's no Vrindavan, Govardhan, and Jamuna. So Krishna said, all right, they're already there. I already sent them. So you come now. That's because in Goloka Vrindavan, there's no passage of time. Here there's passage of time. We plant a seed, we have to wait for it to grow, then we finally get the fruits. It's not like that in Goloka Vrindavan. Everything is eternal. So Krishna had already sent Govardhan. It was Satya Yuga. How did he send him? Here we live in Bharatvarsha. And to the west of Bharatvarsha, there's another island called Salmali Dweep. In Salmali Dweep, there are several mountains and rivers. And there's one mountain called Dronachala. So personified Dronachala, through his wife, she gave birth to the mountain of Govardhan. Beautiful mountain coming directly from the spiritual world. And just like when we have the birth of a child, all of our friends and relatives come and give their blessings, they take darshan of the baby. So when this mountain was born, all of the great mountains came to take darshan and give their blessings. The Himalayas came, Sumeru came, and they all acclaimed that this mountain Govardhan, he is the king of mountains. They gave him the name Giriraj at that time because he has come directly from the spiritual world. We're all here in the material world. So they honored him, they circumambulated him, and then they went back to their original homes. So Govardhan was so beautiful, growing under the care of his father. And one day, Pulastya Muni, Satya Yuga, all the Munis coming from Brahma, he was doing Tirtha Yatra, and he came to Salmali Dvipa. And he saw this beautiful Govardhan Parvat. And he was thinking, I would love to perform my tapasya and my meditation on this hill. But I live in Kashi. I'm going back to my house now. So he went to Dronachala. And he said to Dronachala, he said, I want you to donate your son to me so I can take him to Kashi. In Kashi we have Ganga, but we don't have any hills. Anyone who's been to Kashi knows it's very flat. He said, we have Vishwanathji personally present with us to give liberation, but I don't have any beautiful place to perform my tapasya. So I want to take Govardhan with me to live in Kashi. And Dronachala, he started to cry. Just like the comparison is when Ramachandra and Lakshman, when Vishwamitra Muni came to Dasarath, he couldn't bear the thought of being separated from his beloved son. And he was afraid that the Muni, Pulastya, would curse him. So Govardhan saw the situation. He didn't want his father to be put into distress. So Govardhan himself volunteered, yes, I will go with you, but only under one condition. If you put me down anywhere while we're traveling to Kashi, I will not move from that place. So Govardhan had a plan. So, all right, he agreed to come. Pulastya Muni agreed to this one stipulation. Then Govardhan said, how will you take me? And Pulastya Muni said, oh, don't, I have a lot of mystic power. You just sit on my right hand here, and I'll carry you. And they started to walk. So they're walking, coming through Bharatvarsha towards Kashi. We know that Mathura is on the way. So when Govardhan realizes that now I've come to Braj, this is where I want to be. So he then became so heavy that Pulastya Muni, by force, he had to put him down. Then he had to go do his ablutions, his Gayatri, take care of his morning duties. And when he was finished everything, he came to pick up Govardhan again. And Govardhan wouldn't move. He said, this was our agreement. Wherever you put me down, I'm going to stay there. And Pulastya Muni got so angry. He said, you've cheated me. Now I curse you that every day you will reduce the size of one sesame seed. And that's why we see now the very small, in some places, Govardhan has completely disappeared already. That's why we have to be very careful where we walk. They have the barriers now not to walk on those places because Govardhan is still there, but he's in avyakt roop. After 10,000 years of Kali Yuga, both Govardhan and Jamuna will disappear. We won't have darshan of them anymore. They'll return to the spiritual world. It'll become too demoniac here, because this 10,000 years is the golden age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So long as the chanting of Hare Krishna is going on nicely, Govardhan and Jamuna will remain here. Then they'll go back. So Govardhan now is in Vrindavan. And Krishna has appeared in Gokul on the other side of Jamuna. Now all of the demons were coming, Putana, Trinavarta, Sakadasura. Then after the Jamalarjuna trees, even Nanda Maharaj, he admitted, this place is not safe anymore. They were nomadic cowherd men. They were accustomed to moving from place to place wherever the cows could get nice grass and water. So he called an Ishtagosti with his brothers and all the cowherd men. He said, it's time for us to move. Our cows have eaten up all the grass. They've taken all the leaves from the trees. And our Krishna and Balaram, we don't know what's going to happen next here. What type of demon is going to come? So what should we do? So his brother, he said, there's a beautiful forest, Vrindavan, on the other side of Jamuna. Let's go there. There's grass, there's water, there's Govardhan Hill. Everyone will be very happy there. So that same day they packed up, crossed the river, came to live here right in Chatikara. Now they're here in Vrindavan. Govardhan is just nearby. Krishna's growing up. He sees his father and all the cowherd men, because they're all Vaishyas. It's their occupation. Every day they're herding the cows. So naturally Krishna and Balaram want to do what the fathers are doing. From the time 3 years old, they want to lead the cows out. Finally, they're allowed to take the cows, and they go every day to huge Govardhan to play, to herd the cows, for all these reasons. Because there was water, soft grass, fruits, playing area, nice thrones for them to sit on. So they had a wonderful time there. The gopis hadn't yet met with Krishna. We haven't read yet. They're seeing him from afar. They're hearing about him. They're longing to meet him. But the pastimes of Krishna stealing their garments, all of it hasn't happened yet. So from a distance, their love for Krishna has increased so much. They do get to come every morning because of Radharani's benediction from Durvasa Muni. She gets to come with all of her sakis and cook for Krishna at Nandagaon. Now, because right now we're reading in Prabhupada Lilamrita when Prabhupada got married. And the girls, even in those days, this was about 100 years ago, the children would get married before they attained youth, because then they would be attached to each other when they matured. So these young girls, Purnamasi arranged, they were all married in different villages. Radharani was in Javat. And the young girls, they don't stay all the time in their husbands' houses, because they're little girls. They want to go be with their mother and father. They want to play. They're still playing. So Radharani also, she wouldn't stay all the time in Javat. Just like the months of Shravan, Bhadra, and Ashvin. These next 3 months, we just started Shravan yesterday, right? She goes to Barsana on those days, during those 3 months. And she's very happy with her parents. And we know Bhadra's coming up. It's Krishna's birthday. So Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, they invite Kirtida and the whole family to come for Krishna's birthday. They all get to see Krishna on his birthday. Then, 15 days later, it's Radharani's birthday. Just like little children. We have to remember, these are little children. So Radharani has her birthday. Everybody comes. Her birthday is even bigger than Krishna's birthday. And that's true to this day. Barsana, more people come to Radhashtami than they do for Janmashtami and Nandagaon. It's all still going on. We just have to have the eyes to see. So Krishna and his whole family go to Barsana, and then that fateful day comes. Ashvini month is over, Kartik is starting. It's time to go back to that prison house of Abhimanyu's home. So Abhimanyu sends his older brother, Durmada, to take Radharani back, and she's crying. Everyone is crying, just like the dissolution of the universe. She comes back to her prison, and her father, Vrishabhanu, knowing that she would be so unhappy at her in-law's house, He built for her a beautiful palace in Javat. And even now, if you go to Javat, Javat used to be very run down. So, but still, on the top of the temple, there's a Chandrashala. You go up onto the roof, and you can look out and see all the way to Barsana on a clear day. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj, he built this Chandrashala so high, it was 7 stories high, so that she could see all of Braj, including Govardhan. So on this particular day, when they're singing the Venu Geet, Radharani, she's come home to her in-law's house. She's on the Chandrashala because she wants to see, now she's just come back from cooking for Krishna. Krishna's on his way to Govardhan. They're watching Krishna go and play. The previous verse, number 17, that we read on Ekadasi, this is when the gopis are talking about the Palindyas, the wives of the Sabara tribe. And there, we know about Varnashram, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. Well, the Sabaras, there's 7 classes of females who are so uncivilized, low class, they don't even come within the Varnashram. So the Sabaras are that, they're the tribal people. They're not even within the Varnas. They're below Sudras. And their activities were, they lived in, they're called in English, Prabhupada calls them Aborigines. So they live in Braja, but you never hear about them in Vaikuntha or the heavenly planets. They live in Braja. So Radharani, when she heard about the good fortune of the Palindis, she was wondering, how did they get to come to Braja? How did they get this good fortune that they got to smear their bodies with the kumkum from Krishna's lotus feet? The history is that there were several groups like this. When Ramachandra appeared, and he was exiled for 14 years into the forest, he lived just like a brahmachari. He wore bark, matted hair, kamandalu and danda, completely like a brahmachari. Although his wife was there, they lived brahmachari life. And they were in Dandakaranya sometime, then they went to Panchavati. So Panchavati is a very beautiful place. And Palindya ladies live there, young girls. And their job is, everyone has different functions. Some people are thieves, some people are herders. So what the Palindyas do is, they go into the jungles and they collect cow dung and they collect firewood and they do other types of miscellaneous things in the jungle. So they were wandering in the jungle and they saw this beautiful brahmachari, Ramachandra. And they naturally just fell in love with him. But seeing that he was a brahmachari, they decided, well, what's the use of our life? He's a brahmachari, we can't marry him. They decided to give up their life. Then Ramachandra appeared before them. And he said, don't give up your life. I assure you, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, all of your desires will be satisfied. So those Palindya girls took birth in Braja by the benediction of Ramachandra so their desires could be satisfied. They didn't have direct contact with Krishna. These 2 verses, because we're talking about Venu Geet, in all the other verses, the gopis are glorifying the sound of Krishna's flute and the different effects that the flute playing has on the residents of Vrindavan. There's no mention of a flute in verse 17. There's no mention of a flute in verse 18. It's a glorification of Govardhan, 18, and a glorification of the Palindis in 17. So what are they glorifying in these 2 verses? They're glorifying Krishna's lotus feet. In 18 that we're reading today, they say that Govardhan has become glorious because of the touch of Krishna Balaram's lotus feet. And in 17, when Radharani hears that the Pulindis, they became so much benedicted, they saw Krishna's lotus feet. Now, they would see Krishna's lotus feet every day because he would wander every day in the earth, everything around Govardhan. Whenever Krishna would come, they would automatically become soft. The earth would become soft so that Krishna could step on it. The rocks, they would become like putty, like butter, so Krishna, his feet wouldn't be hurt. So that particular day, they noticed that there was beautiful red dust on the footprints. And they were very attracted because that dust was very fragrant. So fragrant, they didn't know whether the fragrance was coming from the earth, from Krishna's footprints, or from the dust. So they picked up that dust, and they loved that dust so much. They were seeing Krishna, how beautiful he was every day. They were very much attracted to him. They knew these were his lotus feet, but they never had the dust like that before. So they picked up this reddish dust, and they smeared it all over their bodies. And from the touch, it's like electricity. Krishna's lotus feet, that means Krishna touched that spot. Then Krishna's lotus feet, the kumkum powder. From Krishna's lotus feet, the kumkum powder, then the touch on the Pulindi women, they got complete satisfaction just by smearing that dust on their bodies. So when Radharani heard about this good fortune of the Pulindis, the word envy is used. She became envious. Now, it's a transcendental envy. This is envying the good fortune of another devotee. That you see the good fortune, you say, oh, if only I could be that fortunate. So Radharani began to think in that way. That how did these girls become so fortunate? We're locked in our houses. We can only see Krishna from a distance. And these girls, these Aborigine girls, every day, they get to see Krishna at Govardhan, in the forest. They get to smear this dust on their bodies. We don't have that good fortune. So then Radharani, that's why she uses the word abala in the next verse. Because these Pulindi girls were more fortunate than Radharani and the gopis. Radharani felt that way. So she said, my friends, look at us. We're so weak and useless. We don't have the good fortune that the Pulindis have. But what we can do is we can take shelter of Govardhan. Because Govardhan, he knows that secret of devotional service. If you want to please Krishna, please his devotees. So Radharani, being young girls, they hatched a plan. They decided that, well, everyone goes to Manasaganga to bathe. The priests go, our mother-in-laws go, everyone goes. It's a free place. Anyone can go to Manasaganga. It's a holy spot. And after bathing in Manasaganga, we can go to Haridev and take the blessings of Narayan, who's the Ishtadev of Govardhan. Everyone does that. We can do that too. We'll just tell our mother-in-laws that we're going for a bath at Manasi Ganga, then we're going to take blessings of Haridev. The plan, of course, was to take shelter of Govardhan, because both of those places are at Govardhan. And who else is at Govardhan? Krishna is at Govardhan. So they used this trick to come and see Krishna by taking shelter of Govardhan. So Radharani understood, just as Govardhan pleases the devotees, so Radharani, she wanted to go to Govardhan and take complete shelter of Govardhan. And in that way, all of her desires will be fulfilled. Now, Rupa Goswami, we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to Govardhan before he went to live his final lila in Jagannath Puri. He came here when he saw the beauty of Govardhan. Not only was he attracted, but all the inhabitants, all the residents, the deer, the peacocks, they knew that he was none different from Krishna. The animals have this intuition. They can by smell even, they know a person. Many years later, they can even smell a person and know who it is without sight. So they knew this was Krishna, and they all came to him flocking. He chanted this verse. He wouldn't step on Govardhan because Govardhan, Krishna says, the next few chapters, 24 to 27, he proclaims, I am this hill. So this hill is non-different from Krishna. At the same time, Haridasa Varya, this hill is the greatest servant of Krishna. How can you have two things together? Right there we have the example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. At the same time, he's the greatest devotee of Krishna, correct? And this is where the, what are they called? The Gaura Nagaris, where they go off. They worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that. He said, no, I'm just a devotee of Krishna. I'm just trying to be a devotee of Krishna. I take shelter, Gopi Bhartu Padakamale, or Das, Das, Anudas. I take shelter of the protector of the gopis. So this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, to be a servant of Krishna. So he was both the servant and the Lord himself, just like Govardhan. He's both the best servant and the Lord himself. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went back to Puri, one day he was bathing in the ocean, and on the beach was a big Chataka Parvak, big sand dune. When he saw that sand dune, he remembered Govardhan, and he went running toward the sand dune, and he fell unconscious there. And his associates knew that when he falls unconscious like this, the only thing to do is to chant kirtan very loudly. So they began to tumultuously chant Hare Krishna. And very gradually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to consciousness. When he came back, he said to Swarup Dham, he said, why have you brought me to this place? I was at Govardhan. Krishna Balaram, they were herding the cows and playing their flutes. They went onto the hill, and Radharani was there. She was so beautifully dressed with all the gopis. And Krishna took Radharani into a cave. And the gopis, they asked me to help pick flowers. I was picking flowers. Now you made this big sound and you brought me back to this terrible place. Why have you done that? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was meditating on the Govardhan Leela himself, although he's Krishna, feeling separation from his pastimes in Vrindavan. So this back and forth, understanding Govardhan can be both the Lord himself and even Srimati Radharani, she takes shelter of Govardhan. There are many other leelas connected to this, but we'll leave 2 minutes if anyone has any questions. Otherwise, I'll tell another leela. Any questions? You want to hear another leela? Okay. Oh, let's turn the watch back. All right. Now, Radharani, because in this previous verse, the word dayata is used, that this kumkum came from the lovers of Krishna. But dayata is singular. So the gopis, they're saying this verse to Radharani, how the Pulindis, they were able to get this kumkum powder. But the gopis, they would never admit to each other that they had so much affection for Krishna. It was in their hearts, they never admitted it. But at this point, they were trying to figure out, well, who was this dayata that Krishna got the kumkum from that was on his feet? Where did the kumkum come from? So then, it was revealed what actually happened. Because when Radharani had to come back from her parents' home and she was locked up in Javat, the next big festival, as we know, is Kartik, the Ekadasi of Kartik, the Krishna Ekadasi. There are so many different things in Kartik. One of them is the Krishna Ekadasi. And on that day, Radharani wanted to go and worship the Suryadev at Suryakund to see Krishna, of course. But Jatila had heard rumors that Radharani was actually going to Suryakund to meet Krishna. So she said, you're not going to Suryakund. You're staying in the house. You're going to worship our family deity on this auspicious day. Radharani collapsed. She fainted. She couldn't get to see Krishna on that auspicious day. When she fainted, no one knew how to bring her out of her faint. So Purnamasi came. She said, there's only one way to bring Radharani back to life. You have to find a pure brahmachari who has never even looked at a woman. He has to put his foot on her chest. That's the only way she'll be saved. Now, Jatila, that day, Abhimanyu had gone to Mathura to buy some new cows. Jatila was all alone in the house, and she only had Purnamasi telling her what to do. And she thought, oh, if anyone finds out that I caused Radharani's death, I'm finished. I better do whatever Purnamasi tells me to do. So the gopis went looking all over for a pure brahmachari who had never seen a woman before, and they happened to find Krishna sitting at the Jamuna, his flute, he wasn't playing his flute, he was so unhappy because he couldn't meet Radharani that day. They dressed him up as a brahmachari, they brought him to Jawat. With great force and begging and pleading by Jatila, he put his foot on Radharani's breast. That way he got the kumkum. When he left Jawat, it went on. So that kumkum was coming from Srimati Radharani. That very kumkum of Radharani is what was blessing the Pulindya. So it all came back in a beautiful circle. Hare Krishna. Jai. Any questions? Next verse, we'll tell more stories.
So it looks like Govardhan was very tall 500 years ago.
That was in Satyayuga.
Yeah, but 500 years ago, Raghunandas Goswami, he wanted to jump off Govardhan Hill to kill himself after Mahaprabhu's disappearance. So, Raghunandas Goswami, he wanted to jump off Govardhan.
I can't understand.
I said, Raghunandas Goswami, he wanted to...
Raghunandas Goswami,
yeah,
yes.
He wanted to jump off Govardhan,
yes,
because of
high
separation from Mahaprabhu.
So
that time must be very, very high.
Yeah, very.
But now
high.
It's not so high, right? Like I even so small like anything now.
You need transcendental vision to see the height. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.